So today we have three prayer quilts, and they will be outside the sanctuary past the glass doors for you to tie a knot, say a prayer, and sign a card so they know that we are praying for them and thinking of them. So please bow your heads with me. Bring your words, Lord, to our hearts on this day as we celebrate all that you sacrificed to give us. Bring these to us through our actions, prayers, and guide our own words to share with others. Use us as your tools, your hands and voice in all that we do. Give us rest and solitude, as well as joy and celebration in this season. Challenge our beliefs and put our minds to careful thought each day. We will feast in celebration and community many times throughout this month, but help us to move beyond the traditional feasting and help us to feast our hearts on the true meaning of the season. To make the season about giving more than tangible gifts, but also to help us to remember to give of our time, energy, thoughts, prayers, and praise. Let our praises be plentiful and our prayers be heartfelt. Help us to find praises in the most unlikely of situations. Guide our prayers beyond ourselves and to those in need in the world. Move us to think of the big picture. Make us feel the largeness of our power, even if we feel as if we are just one small soul. We may be overwhelmed with family, or some may feel as if they have no family at all. But remind us of the sturdy, supportive, calming family that we have in those that are our family in God. And use our hands to hold out both for giving and receiving, to not just pride ourselves in finding that perfect gift of a bathrobe, iPad, video game, or salad shooter, but to give the gift of ourselves, and most importantly, the gift of knowing you, loving you, and serving you. And now let's spend a moment with our own prayers. And now let's come together and pray the prayer that God taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson comes from Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You guys know it's only 2 weeks till Christmas Eve? You know what that means? That means it's 2 weeks and a day till Christmas, the coming of Christ. And Advent, it's a time for us to remember the coming of Christ. And so I ask you this, as we celebrate this third Sunday in Advent, are you awake? Are you ready for Christ? Are you so anxious for Advent to be over that you just don't have any patience left? You don't want to wait anymore. Well, today, using Trevor Hudson's book, which we've been using, we're out of these, by the way. We had over 180 go out, but you can still get it and then get a Kindle version if you want to pick up and start joining us in the read. Pauses for Advent, Words of Wonder by Trevor Hudson. And this is a time for us to, today, remember the coming of Christ, remembering those stories, the smells, the songs, the lights. In order to remember the coming of Christ, we need to develop a Christian memory. And Hudson points out in his book that teaching and helping new followers of Christ was actually one of the most important duties of the leaders of the early church. And guess what? It's still important today. And you know whose duty it is? Ours. And so we're helping others and ourselves develop a Christian memory because it continues. It happens anytime you're connecting with another person. It happens when we pray, when you hear or read the scriptures, when you devote time to growing spiritually. It happens when we worship. You see, we're imprinting in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, ways to remember. Now, a little over a week ago, Pastor Sherry and I each had the opportunity to share the story of Christ's birth with the preschoolers from First Steps Preschoolers, 3- and 4-year-olds. So the approach we use is we take a stable and we set up and we do the manger scene, sort of like the one at the back. Now those are breakable ornaments or figurines. We use plastic with the little kids. And we get each one of them get a figurine from the story. You know, Mary, baby Jesus, Joseph. We had to search for an angel because there wasn't one in the box we had. Some were animals, but they all got to take part. And as we told the story, they each brought up their figurine when it was their turn. And so here we are telling a story to 3- and 4-year-olds, and it's an old story. But we're doing it with them today, and they're getting a chance to experience it and hear that story, reminding them of why Christ came into the world. Yeah, we're telling a birth story, but we're telling them that love came into the world, and it's still in the world today. And that's in line with what Trevor Hudson says in his book. He says, developing a Christian memory is not about living in the past. We remember so that we can live with hearts open to the Christ who is alive and present with us today and every day. We remember in the past, but we also have to remember in the present and in the future. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some times where it's really easy to remember the past. And then there's other times where I just forget. And my memory fades, and a nudge usually helps me remember. Now, everybody's going, what is that? This is the sleeve that went around an ornament that goes on our tree. It's from Sue and my first Christmas together. That's actually what it's called, our first Christmas together. 1980. And the way we handle our tree in our house is I do the lights and then I get out of the way. Sue, when it was just the two of us, she would let me help. And then when the kids came along, Brian and Katie and Sue would put all the ornaments on, and now the grandkids get to help. Well, as we go through that box, it's like a history of our family and our Christmases. And so every year, this ornament would go on the tree since 1980. And, you know, the kids would pull it out and they'd say, well, what's this one? Oh, it's from your first Christmas. Boom, on the tree. Well, this year, it didn't quite make it on the tree correctly. In fact, it sort of made it on the ground. And so now it's just the sleeve. And you can't really hang it on the tree. And that's not a tragedy, by the way. It actually was, as I was preparing for today, it made me realize I spent more time thinking about this ornament than I have if you total up all the time in the prior 20 or 37 years, right? I remember back to a Christmas where there was no heat in the apartment, and we wound up exchanging gifts on the bed covered up with quilts. I remember when the kids were small and the excitement and making them wait at the top of the stairs until we had had our coffee made and were ready for them. And so this ornament breaking gave me a chance to think back to the past and really get a chance to remember this ornament. And we all have that opportunity. As we look at our Christian memory. Now, I don't know when your Christian memory started. It may have started when you were a small child. It may not have started till you were in your 80s or somewhere in between, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when those occur because your memories, like Christ, are with you today, and you can recall those memories, and you can make new ones every day. During Advent, we look for ways to remember. We can remember through worship when we're here on Sundays, or if you go to a cantata during the week, or you hear the Messiah sung. Those are chances to be in worship and to remember. We've been doing devotions through pauses for Advent, and there are more devotions out there. You can find them online, you can find them on books, but that's a way to help develop your Christian memory. You can read the scriptures, you can read the stories, the history of the church, the history of Christ, the history of the Jewish people, and you can develop your memory that way. You can develop it through prayer. You can take those times to just be alone or be with others when you're praying. And you can be in community. For example, tonight at 5 p.m., even though the meal has sold out, you can be here for the Young People Worship Arts Christmas program and just experience the joy and the love that they will give us. Those are opportunities we have before us during Advent as we develop our Christian memory. Because we have to remember, Christ came over 2,000 years ago to earth. He was born a small child, grew, and still remains with us today. He is love, hope, joy, the Prince of Peace, God with us. And as the early church was growing, they were in communication with each other, encouraging each other, offering advice as they grew their Christian memory. Now, Paul was one of these early mentors, but he didn't really like to tweet or text, so he would send snail mail. And he would send it to Timothy and others. And in his second letter to Timothy, Paul tells him to remember. He tells him to remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. I mean, notice those two things that Paul is reminding Timothy: to remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. And if you want to see Christ's and read about Christ's genealogy, you can go to the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Now, Matthew starts with Abraham and gives the generations. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. So I encourage you to take a moment, read about Christ's lineage and his history, because that helps develop the memory and understand what the Jewish people were waiting for. And through Christ's coming, God becomes like you and me so that we may know the way, the truth, and the life. Today and each day of Advent, we remember this. We also remember Christ in his deeds and his words, in his death and in his resurrection. Trevor Hudson tells us that in his book. And so Paul instructs Timothy to remember Jesus. And Paul told us to remember at other times. He shared that we need to remember the poor in Galatians, in Colossians, to remember his chains from when he was in prison. You can look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and see another time he tells us to remember. And it didn't stop there. When you look back into the Gospels, Jesus tells us to remember. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Every time we use these words during communion, we're called to remember Jesus. We'll be taking communion in just a little while. You get to hear those words this morning. Remember Jesus, who was fully human and fully divine, who came as a small baby, walked this earth, grew like we did, learned as we did, and then was sacrificed for our sins and rose again and lives today. It lives in each of us. And see, we're to remember Christ as we live our lives today. This is not just about the past. We are to be the love of Christ to others every single day. Trevor Hudson reminds us that our faith is rooted in remembrance. We are to remember Christ. As we pause this Advent, we're spending time to remember four of the figures in the Jesus birth story. The first week, we spoke about Mary, and the second week was Joseph. You can hear those online. Just go to the church's Facebook page or our website, and you can listen to those. Next week, we're going to talk about the shepherds. Well, this week, we're spending time with the Magi. "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For we have saw his star when it rose, and we have come to do him homage." This is from the Brick Bible, which we actually have a copy of. Sherry, I think you have that in your office, right? If you ever want to read through the Bible in a different way, this is available to you. Just borrow it. But you can see three kings. But they're magi. Now, the Greek is magi. I think I said that right, magi. I played it like 23 times trying to get it etched into my brain so I would remember. And I think I did okay. They're wise men. They're astrologers. And when you finish the word magi out, you get magicians. They're sorcerers. These are learned people. And we know some things about them. This is a painting by Harry Siddons Mowbray. He's an American painter. And he takes a very direct approach. You can see there's three wise men. There's the baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And of course, baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph have the halos around their heads, so you know that they're holy. And the three magi, two are kneeling, and they're presenting him gifts. Now, we know a number of things about the magi. What we know is that we don't know how many there were. We do know they brought three gifts. So it's just easy to say, well, three gifts, one per. Because if there's fewer than that, somebody probably spent more. And you can't do that. And if there's more, then, you know, what are they doing? Splitting the gifts? Can't have that. This is a joint gift. No. We know they came from the east and traveled west. We call them kings in some of the different versions of the Bible that you read, but we're not really sure they were kings. We know they were a priestly class from either Persia or Babylonia and who were experts in the occult. So they understood the world and the things not of this world. And we know they came to seek a new ruler, a king of the Jews. Now, they came to pay homage because they viewed Christ as a king, the king of the Jews. They didn't realize he was a deity, that he was God incarnate. So God places this star before them because they understand stars through their studies. And when they went to magi.com to try to find out the source of the star, there was no information there. But because they were learned and they didn't just limit themselves to their belief system, they knew about the Hebrew Scriptures. And they understood the prophecy in Micah that you heard read this morning. "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God." You see, they remembered. They saw that scripture, so they went to where a king should be born. They went to the palace. They went to King Herod to find out where the new king was. And of course, it's freaked Herod out and all of Jerusalem with him. And he sends them out to look for the baby. And so they go out in the stars over Bethlehem. They ask around and they find out where Jesus was born. Now, if you notice in the scripture today, it says they entered the house. Because this is a little bit later than the birth story. They're, you know, Mary and Joseph and Jesus are now in a residence. They're no longer in the stable. The shepherds have gone back to work. And they're coming into Joseph and Mary's house. So that picture we have of the nativity where you have all of them together, we've sort of brought together these different thoughts. And, you know, earlier I showed the nice clean Magi image with just the three kings. This is what I call a messy Magi image. It's by Sir Peter Paul Rubens. He's a Flemish artist, and he painted a lot of Christian history. And this one's a little bit more complicated. You've got the king, you know, the wise men here, the Magi. You've got angels up here, cherubs, which are scary angels. You've got people in the background. You've got, you know, their servants. And then here, of course, you have Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So this is a little bit of a messier scene, not what you're used to seeing, right? You like it where there's just those three and then maybe three camels because they had to ride somehow. That's what you want to see. Well, it may not be typical, but it really does show us who the Magi were. They represented the pagans. They represented the Gentiles. And it was extreme in this painting. What's amazing, though, is that the Magi did something the Jewish leaders didn't. The Jewish leaders knew about this prophecy. They didn't go looking for Jesus. The Magi acted. They went looking for Jesus. Because the Magi, they speak of our own longing for God. We're out there looking. We're out there trying to remember and find. And as I was going through preparing for this morning, a song kept coming back to me, which really doesn't fit, at least I didn't think it did, by Sarah McLachlan. Everybody remember? I'm going to try this. I will remember you. Will you remember me? She goes on to say, don't let your life pass you by. Weep not for the memory. And I'm like, that just doesn't work. I can't use that. But then I read all the lyrics and I listened to it several times, and there's another part of the song that really caught me. And I want you to hear these words. This is from the third verse, and I want you to think of it from a Christian perspective and where we are in Advent. Once there was a darkness, deep and endless night. You gave me everything you had. Oh, you gave me life. When we look at that from a Christian perspective, Christ came to the world for all of us. He gave us life. He was love. And as we remember the past, we remember the present, but we're also supposed to remember the future. And unless you're into Doctor Who and timey-wimey stuff or time travel, how do you remember the future? It hasn't happened yet. Well, we're going to try something, because it starts by remembering when. So here's what I want you to do. Close your eyes. This is a dangerous thing for a pastor to do during a sermon. Close your eyes. Seriously. I'm not going to, because I have to read. And I want you to stay awake. And I want you to think back to a prior Christmas, a prior time where you had a Christ memory, a positive memory. I want you to remember the sights, the smell of it, the sound, what it felt like, the taste. Now, bring that memory forward. Bring it to today. What's it look like now? What's changed? What's remained the same and rooted? Now, look to the future. What will that memory look like? How will you live it out in your life? And this is what we're asked to do this Advent as we pause and remember. All right, you can open your eyes now. I want to finish the story I started about the ornament. This is actually a picture of the ornament itself, so now you know what it looks like. Well, I had to be a little creative because we share an Amazon account. Now, it's not the same ornament. I know that. And I realized that you can't replace the one that got broken. But you can have one to hang on your tree. And I started thinking about the future and how this ornament will carry with it different stories. We have one from the past, and now we have one from the future. We'll hang it up when I get home. She didn't know I bought it. It wasn't expensive. Well, depends on your opinion. It wasn't. But that's what we're called to do during Advent. This is the challenge we have. And you have to ask yourself, what can I remember from the past? How do I remember it for the present? And how do I remember it for the future, this Advent and throughout the year? Then we have to take the approach that the Magi did and not just know about it, but to take action, to seek Christ in our lives. Please pray with me. Christ, we're preparing this Advent. We're waiting impatiently for your coming. We're remembering your love. We're remembering your pain. We're remembering your sacrifice. But we're remembering that you rose and that you have protected us. We remember that tomorrow is a new day, that every day with you can be filled with hope. Bless us this Advent season. Amen.